Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 321, being recorded on the 25th of March, 2020, with special guest Sasha Rosenbaum. I'm Sujit, and on Teams with me, of course, I have Kel, Kendall, Cynthia, and our special guest, Sasha, who we're going to get to in just a minute. Actually, Sasha is a repeat guest on our show, and welcome her back. But before we get to her, let's talk about some of the news in the Azure space. Let's see, what do we got there, guys? I know we did a show just recently, so not a whole lot, but I can see there's already a few updates since the last time we did it. Anyone want to take one of them? Or I can get started. So Azure Functions has a premium plan now, which is kind of meets a gap that's been there for a long time, which is you couldn't have functions attached to a virtual network. And now with this premium plan, not only you get, you know, some more beefier SKUs, you can also attach it to a VNet, which is really useful if they want to restrict, you want to access some internal resources on your express route or on-prem, for example. So I thought that was a neat feature. What else have we got here?
And then there is one on the built-in auto policies for Azure Container Registries. So now with those built-in policies that you do through the compliance feature of Azure Policy, there are three built-in ones that are planned that you can look at your network audits on the private link if that's being used, or you can see if firewall is enabled or if there's any IP-based restrictions. And you can also look at data transfer in terms of how your customer managed keys are used. So now essentially you get some built-in policy controls on your ACRs that is out of the box.
Nice. And I see Kale put the Dilbert blockchain comic strip out there.
I didn't put that in. I think Evan dropped that in.
Oh, Evan dropped that in.
Yeah. It's pretty right. Funny, though.
We'll put that in the show notes. We're not going to talk about it here, of course. I think that's it, right, for the roundup? Am I missing anything? Let's see. I think that's it. Yeah. Why don't we get to our special guest, Sasha. Sasha, thank you again for joining us. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do in the Azure team and what your passion is around Azure.
Sure. So it's interesting because when I was last on this podcast, I think it was two jobs ago, not like one, but two. So it's interesting. But I was on the Azure DevOps team up until few weeks ago, I can't quite tell how many, and I just transferred over to the GitHub side. So, you know, if folks are familiar with the GitHub acquisition, there's a lot of sort of movement going on around that, and so I'm happy to talk about this. I'm in engineering, but more on the developer relations type of side. So I talk to folks outside of the company a lot to kind of figure out what our direction should be for the product.
Yeah, I remember the first time you came on, you were kind of specializing in serverless and functions and things like that. And so now you've somehow made your way to DevOps. How did you kind of, make that transition? What kind of led you more into the DevOps space?
Yeah, so DevOps has been a long-term passion, like actually a longer term than serverless. It's an interesting one. But I've been organizer of DevOps Day Chicago for the last, I think, 6 years. And it's, if folks are not familiar with DevOps Days, these are community conferences that now I think there's 150 cities around the world that do them. Back when we started, we were like the fifth or whatever city that started that. It's actually where the whole word DevOps came from. Like the conferences were the part of the coining of the word. But basically, yeah, I've been engaged in that for a long time. And then it's just kind of, that's why I gravitated towards the Azure DevOps team and how I ended up there. And yeah, so it's a very interesting space, and I think it's helping a lot of people be more productive. And that's what really is, that's why I'm passionate about it.
So my first contact with DevOps was through the Phoenix Project. I was given that book and then I read about it and I was like, oh, wow. And then I did like a similar-ish project and saw a lot of those things happening in real life, which is quite fascinating. And I know like in DevOps, there's a lot of talk around culture, but you're also building those tools that enhances those cultures when, whether you're at GitHub or when you used to be in Azure DevOps, like how do these teams think about what tools to build, even though DevOps is so much around people?
Right. So it's been an ongoing argument because actually the folks who came up with the word DevOps did not want to define it, because I think their biggest fear was that like once you set a definition to a word, like it just continues kind of being taken out of context a lot of times. And their biggest idea in the beginning was just breaking the silos and uniting the teams, right? So developers and operations, we used to think these are on different sides of the aisle. But once you start thinking about like, what is the true goal for this whole thing, right? We're delivering value to customers. And so if you can do that, then it stops being like, oh, you know, the ops just want to do as little changes as possible and devs want to do as many changes as possible. And they like a struggle between them. And so this was the biggest aspect. But of course, there's a whole ecosystem that grew around this, right? And so people started building tools with that in mind, with automation in mind, with CI/CD in mind, continuous integration, continuous delivery. And so there's different aspects of this, right? And tools. And also, you know, we used to say like DevOps is not a job, but now like there's plenty of people named DevOps engineers around the world. And at one point, so there's some a thing that we do sometimes at DevOps Days, we do it's called TalkPay. It's basically this conversation where people anonymously reveal their salaries and then kind of talk about this, you know, like how can they like get a raise or maybe and stuff like that. And so the interesting part about it is like at one point we discovered that people who had DevOps in their title got paid pretty significantly more money. And so we're like, you know what, get paid. Like, you know what I mean? If you have to have call yourself DevOps engineer to get like 20% raise, like just go do it. So.
I'm going to have to remember that line exactly. You just said right there.
I'm doing it right now. I'm getting business cards with DevOps on it.
So I will say now the next level is SRE. So now if you want the next level, the new cool word, it's going to be SRE for you. So.
Do you get a compounded effect with them together, or is it just one or the other?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Most people, it's one or the other. But it's also, I mean, a lot of times it's like agile, right? I mean, people assign themselves to the word and they say, oh, we're doing DevOps. And then when you start looking at what their actual practices are, like they're very, very far from that. And then on the other hand, there's organizations who are not calling it DevOps or SRE or anything, and they're doing like really amazing things. So.
Sasha, do you mind just for our listeners who aren't aware, talking a little bit about site reliability engineering? That's what SRE stands for, but just a bit about how that contrasts against just the traditional kind of DevOps practices.
So I'm probably like not the best person to define this, right? But basically what SRE folks talk about is that like it's beyond like just delivery. You also need to worry about kind of your life site, right? Supporting your production and the fact that you're always going to have incidents, right? You can't avoid all the incidents. You can't just create policies good enough that you never break things. So you have to be able to figure out how to handle incidents rather than try to reach the state where you're never going to have them.
Yeah, that's kind of my understanding too. And some of the customers that I've worked with before, it's really, really cool to see some of the integration between, you know, the DevOps aspect, but also this concept of SRE teams. I actually saw one company that basically had an SRE team that would provision all of the, like, kind of this microservices type of almost templating through Slack. Through a Slack bot that would actually then go provision not only like the scaffolding for the actual application itself, but also the entire CI/CD process that it would go through, and it, you know, followed all the processes they had internally. So it's pretty cool to see how some of that really just take the DevOps enablement to the next level.
Right.
But, kind of going along with that, I'm kind of curious, just as you're transitioning from Azure DevOps and moving to GitHub, I know there is a lot of movement in that space. You know, I don't want to poke the beast and open a whole can of worms there, because I know that story and a lot of that's evolving as we speak. But what are some of the, I guess, goals for GitHub in the DevOps space moving forward? We have GitHub Actions, but we also have some customers using Azure DevOps. So if you just want to speak to that at a high level without, you know, it being something too controversial.
Yeah, so I think we're closer to figuring it out, right? So if you asked me that question 2 months ago, it would be harder for me to answer it. But it's kind of getting fleshed out as we go. We spent some time deliberating about it. And I think the biggest conclusion we came to is we can't effectively run two products, right, and have this sort of internal competition between two things. So we are going to move towards having one in the end, right? But it's going to have like this long, long period of time where we're in process of moving things. So if you talk about the future and the strategic investments, GitHub is the future. And part of it is because it's much better positioned to accomplish certain things than we ever were in Azure DevOps. But then on the other side of that, like in Azure DevOps, we really know how to handle enterprise customers really well, whereas GitHub, you know, started as a community thing. And while we have an enterprise offer there, it's still not quite there yet. Right. So it is going to be the process of, like, if you are in Azure DevOps right now, you have probably 5 years that, you know, you can safely continue working on your work, like working with your workloads in Azure DevOps. But if you're just starting out, maybe check out GitHub first, because that's where we're going to make investments mostly. And then in terms of CI/CD, obviously we ramped up on Actions and GitHub, and that's the area is going to continue getting investments. So that, like, this is one of the big priorities. And then another is, again, supporting enterprise facing features, more so than we already have. And then there's packages. I don't know if you heard about, like, we announced the intent to acquire NPM, right? Obviously it didn't go through yet, but, GitHub is going to acquire NPM. So again, investments into package registry type of stuff.
Go
ahead, Cynthia.
When you talk about enterprise, what are things they're looking at, and what type of feature sets would kind of fulfill those needs?
Yeah. So I don't like to go into like feature for feature, because like people always get bugged into that. But I think, like, as a for instance, Azure DevOps has super granular permissions for everyone, like what you can do. And in GitHub, there's like basically read, write, you know, access type of level, right? So you can't like granularly configure for every single thing what a person is able to do and not. And a lot of enterprises, that is a requirement, right? They have to have certain levels of access and certain levels of integration, whether like Active Directory or whatever LDAP system they have, like, right? So there's that type of level of support. Like, we just announced that GitHub is now supporting, like, GitHub Enterprise can now be integrated with your Active Directory. Because that's what we heard with, like, literally every single enterprise customer that we had It's like they're using Active Directory. That's what they want. They want to propagate their identity and also propagate their security groups into GitHub. So like these type of things. And also the other thing is like we are right now, like actions are pretty heavily on par with pipelines in terms of CI. But the CD part, like kind of all the gates and all the controls, is still not quite there. So that's another thing that we're making investments in.
One question I had about that with the differences between the repos, right? Because a lot of times I've heard enterprise customers, like, you know, GitHub's pretty widespread, right? Use, whether it be private or public repos. But there are some customers, like, for instance, like maybe a financial company or something like that, who would say, I don't care. I can't put it on GitHub.com, right? I can put it on an Azure DevOps instance because I trust, you know, Microsoft and these kind of things with that. But how have you seen that kind of evolving? Like,
with this? So I think it's still, the thing is that people are not even aware that you can do GitHub Enterprise Server, which is like your private own instance, and you can put it on-prem and anywhere. And GitHub has had it for a while now, so it's like not even new. But we are also rolling out some other things, which now that I think about it, I don't know how much I can talk about publicly, but there's some other like nice things coming in that space. So you, first of all, you don't have to use the cloud. You don't have to use GitHub.com as an enterprise, but you can, and there's GitHub Enterprise, you know, in the cloud as well. So you can restrict your stuff, like either put it on-prem if that's your regulation requirement, or put it in the cloud and restrict it to only your organization, you know, to be able to access it.
So, you know, I've used Azure DevOps for most of my projects, but recently I got into a project that used the GitHub project. You know, like the whole project lifecycle was run through GitHub. And, you know, it took me a little while to kind of get used to the fact that everything's an issue, you know, the way that they organize, like their sprints and all is kind of different. So give us an idea as to, you know, how, like what kind of changes can customers expect if they do want to go wholesale into this whole GitHub model?
So I think in terms of work planning, as of right now, we are probably recommending people keep Azure Boards, and we're, you know, rolling out more and more integrations between Azure Boards and GitHub, because that's it is going to come eventually. We're going to invest in that area too, but right now, like, GitHub is not going to have in an immediate future a product that allows you to work planning on par with something like Jira or Azure Boards. So, issues is a different type of thing, right? And like it works really well for certain use cases, but not for everything. So yeah, it's what I'm discovering is that they use issues to manage everything. So like instead of emails, people use issues to plan work, for instance. So like, that's going to be something to get used to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's good. I mean, like from a cost perspective, is there any considerations with these platforms, or is it too early to say, to talk about that?
I think GitHub Enterprise, see, this is tricky because certain things I don't want to say, but
okay,
like,
no, that's fine.
It's all right. So Azure DevOps is very cheap, right, relative to other CI/CD products, because essentially it was sort of part of the cloud for us, right? So we're sort of like discounting it for customers just so they can use CI/CD, which is just better for everyone. I think GitHub is more of like GitHub as a separate company has to make money off of this business. And so it is more on par with other things in that space in terms of pricing. And it's also like we are rolling out some pretty hefty things into, especially in the security space. So there's pricing for that. And again, if you compare us with like other things in that space, it's going to be cheaper for you to buy GitHub in terms of like all the features that you get with it, as opposed to, you know, not doing that and buying like from each vendor separately.
Got it.
But it's definitely a premium offer as compared to Azure DevOps pricing.
Yeah, another question I had, and this kind of goes over into Azure DevOps a bit more, but, you know, over the years that that product's been out there, right, it initially, or at least earlier on, it had kind of a GUI interface, and then things moved to like YAML based kind of configuration models and things like that. And GitHub, I feel like, is in a similar thing with these actions. Like, essentially, it's declarative, like you can kind of lay these things out, which has a lot of pros. But like one of the big cons for that is approachability, right? So I don't know if there's anything you could say around like how that happens, like because there's like 1,000 different parameters on these different things. And how do I discover those like without a GUI, right? I have to go like read and find stuff and it takes longer. So just interested in your aspect on that. Yeah.
So again, this is not something I super know what the roadmap is, but as far as I know, I think it's going to be YAML for, you know, the foreseeable future for these things, for various reasons. So like, I don't know that we will ever have the level of UI that we had in Azure DevOps for this. It's easier for us to build, right? Because like in code, it's much easier to define everything instead of building a task for every single, you know, thing that you could possibly want. But yes, the onboarding kind of becomes harder with this. And I don't know if we solve it through the documentation or if we're going to end up building the UI in the end, because that's what people want.
Doesn't GitHub have like an extension model? I forget now. I believe there is some sort of way to add your own. You can develop plugins or something for it.
So yes, and it's interesting to me because in some ways it's easier to extend GitHub things, and in some ways it's harder, right? So like where you could build super custom tasks for Azure DevOps very easily, you can't exactly do that for GitHub, but at the same time, like Actions is completely open source and anyone can contribute Actions, and like this is completely community driven type of thing where like we expect people to be building their own rather than us taking care of every single integration on the planet.
So with the developers that you've been talking to, what is the common sentiment about this shift? Like, how do people feel?
So I think there's two things, right? One is like, you moved my cheese, right? So every time there is a change, like people don't like it. But if you think about this, like we have evolved as like the Azure DevOps team. The product is about 10 years old, right? And this product has changed a lot of times, and people had to migrate from versions, you know, and to migrate to the cloud and stuff like that. So it's not that different in that sense, but people are still kind of, you know, unhappy when things change. But like, I think every time that I actually ask people a question, like, if you were in our shoes and you could choose, like, what is the product that you're actually going to invest in long term for, you know, all the things we want to accomplish, everybody says GitHub, right? I mean, like, it's such an obvious choice that like, once they understand that, like, they understand the decision making process, I guess.
And you know, are they talking of GitHub or Git? Because I feel sometimes people like just think the two are the same, which obviously, you know, they're not exactly the same.
I think like when I talk to customers, that people do understand the difference. But yeah, definitely name confusion is there and exists. You know, it's also like people confuse GitHub with GitLab and stuff like that. You know, there's all sorts of things that are interesting.
Yeah, and now we have the movement towards GitOps. So that's the whole movement now too, is, you know, driving all of your changes through the Git system, and then that basically being the source of truth for like configuration as well. Do you have any thoughts on that, Sasha? Are you seeing that?
So me personally, I don't think that's a great idea, because like it's limiting what you can do. And then like you sort of essentially forcing yourself into certain practices just because it's like you following the tool instead of the tool following you, right? I do believe that like what we were doing in terms of the release management, where it was pipeline driven, and so you could make sure that the same code makes it through however many environments, like that is the best practice. Because I can tell you that A, we don't hit all the customers at the same time, right? We can, like, it takes us a week to roll it out to everyone. But at the same time, like, I know that it's exactly the same code running everywhere. So once we, like, we roll out, for instance, in Azure DevOps, we roll it out first to Microsoft employees, right? And so, like, if it's been used by Microsoft employees for 24 hours and no one complained about anything, that makes it for so much more chance that it's not going to break in the next stage, right? So it's stuff like that you can control, and gate and set up a process about around that. Like GitOps is just all about PRs and.
You've given us an idea as to what some of the things that we can expect coming down the pike. But what are you most excited for? Like, you know, coming down with GitHub. There's a couple of things that you would say these are some of the things that you're working on or most excited to talk to your customers about. What are they?
The security features. So if we talk about like why Microsoft acquired GitHub in the first place, it's because like if you look at numbers, like enterprises are using like we have reports, right? 99% of applications use open source and 90% of your code, any code in any application is actually coming from open source, coming from NuGet, NPM, you know, open source packages and libraries and stuff like that. And so the reason we went into this is that we said, okay, instead of fighting with open source, we have to embrace the mindset and how can we make this better, right? And so some of the stuff that we can do in GitHub, because largely the world of open source is based in GitHub, it was not previously accessible. So like we are going to roll out pretty cool security stuff.
That's good. That's a great way to end this up. That's exactly the right message there. Okay, sounds good. Any more questions for Sasha before we let her go? All right, awesome. Well, Sasha, if you have any links that you want to share, please send them over to me. I will attach them to the podcast recording. But again, thank you again for coming on to our show once again. And we look forward to having you sometime in the future, hopefully not after such a long break.
Okay.
Right. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.